This is an Audio Holdings production.
The Ghost Wagon by Max Brand. Read by Slate Peters.
1. Eight Men of Mystery. This is a story of how Lou Carney made friends with the law. It must not be assumed that Lou was an outcast, neither that he was an underhanded violator of constituted authority. As a matter of fact, there was one law which Lou always held in the highest esteem. He never varied from the prescriptions of that law. He never, as far as possible, allowed anyone near him to violate that law. Unfortunately, that law was the will of Lou Carney. He was born with sandy hair, which reared up at off angles all over his head. His eyes were a bright blue as pale as fire. Since the beginning of time, there has never been a man with sandy hair and those pale, bright eyes who has not trodden on the toes of the powers that be. Carney was that type, and more than that type. Not that he had a taint of malice in his 5'10" of wire-strung muscle. Not that he loved trouble, but he was so constituted that what he liked, he coveted with a passion for possession, and what he disliked, he hated with consummate loathing. There was no intermediate state. Consider a man of these parts, equipped in addition with an eye that never was clouded by the most furious of his passions, and a hand which never shook in a crisis. And it is easy to understand why Lou Carney was regarded by the pillars of society with suspicion. In a community where men shoulder one another in crowds, his fiery soul would have started a conflagration before he got well into his teens. But by the grace of the Lord, Lou Carney was placed in the mountain desert, in a region where even the buzzard strains its eyes looking from one town to the next, and where the wary stranger travels like a ship at sea, by compass. Here Lou Carney had plenty of room to circulate without growing heated by friction to the danger point. Even with these advantages, the spark of excitement had snapped into his eyes a good many times. He might have become a refugee long before had it not chanced that the men whom he crossed were not themselves wholly desirable citizens. Yet the time was sure to come when, hating work and loving action, he would find his hands full. Someday a death would be laid to his door, and then the end. He was the gayest rider between the Sierras and the Rockies, and one of the most reckless. There was no desert which he would not dare. There was no privation which he had not endured to reach the ends of his own pleasure. But not the most intimate of Lou's best friends could name a single pang which he had undergone for the sake of honest labor. But for that matter, he did not have to work. With a face for poker and hands for the same game, he never lacked the sources of supply. Lou was about to extinguish his campfire on this strange night in Silver Canyon. He had finished his cooking and eaten his meal hurriedly and without pleasure, for this was a dry camp. The fire had dwindled to a few black embers and one central heart of red which tossed up a tongue of yellow flame intermittently. At each flash there was illumined only one feature. First, a narrow, fleshless chin. Who is it that speaks of the fighting jaw of the bull terrier? Then a thin-lipped mouth with the lean cheeks and the deep-set glowing eyes. And lastly, the wild hair thrusting up askew. It made him look, even on this hushed night, as though a wind were blowing in his face. On the whole, it was a rather handsome face, but men would be apt to appreciate its qualities more than women. Lou scooped up a handful of sand and swept it across the fire. The night settled around him. But the night had its own illumination. The moon, which had been struggling as a sickly circle through the ground haze, now moved higher and took on its own proper color, an indescribable crystal white, and it was easy to understand why this valley had the singular name of Silver Canyon. In the day, it was a burning gulch, not more than 5 miles wide, 100 miles long, banked in with low, steep-sided mountains in unbroken walls. Under the sun, it was pale, sand-yellow, both mountains and valley floor, but the moon changed it, gilded it, and made it a miracle of silver. The night was coming on, crisp and cold,